very heart to be good like medicine. All right, let me take the Bible this morning and turn with me to Psalm 112. 112th Psalm. Sing with me for a moment.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us. Because you love us first, we love you. You proved your love when you sent your Son to die for us on Calvary. And you've been proving your love ever since. We see it every day. It's because of your mercy, so we are not consumed. Because your compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for this church family. Thank you, Lord, that we can laugh together, we can pray together, we can study your word together. Lord, we just ask you, please, with what is preached here in this place and in the children's church as well, be glorified today. We thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The video said at the end, parenting being a dad is no joke. And it's not. It's an important part of the family. It's one that's greatly neglected today. And I trust that every father here will see the importance of your role in your home, will understand the challenge that God has given to you. And I'm directing my comments to fathers today, but really to any man, whether you're a father or you're not a father, because this verse certainly applies to men today. Ladies, you can learn from this as well. So let's read the 112th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I want you to notice in the first verse, the first sentence, praise ye the Lord, period. Now, when you read your Bible, I think we ought to do what we're told to do, don't you? And I look at this verse in the first sentence especially, and he has commanded us to praise the Lord. Now, this is Father's Day. So I want three men to just stand. Now, I don't want anything lengthy, but I just want you to stand. I praise the Lord for, and first man to stand. Let's obey the Lord this morning. Tom.
Praise the Lord for this church, my church family here. This road that I've had here, I praise the Lord for my children going to Watts and their commitments they made in their hearts down there while they were there. I thank you for thanking them for it, and I thank them and all the other things that went down. And I'm thankful for my heavenly Father. I don't deserve his
so I'll take you as the last one today. Go ahead.
First of all, I praise the Lord for my salvation. Amen. Number two, I praise the Lord for that lady right here in our 55 years. Then I praise the Lord for keeping me safe during a certain situation I won't bring up, but if you know, bringing me home safe. Amen. So I can praise Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we're to praise Him. It's a command. I want to encourage you when you read your Bible to do what your Bible says. Another psalm says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I just encourage you, when you read something and you're challenged by God's Word, just go ahead and do it exactly at that moment. Okay, God, search me right now. And look at my life. Is there something displeasing to you? Is there something that you need to change? As you read God's Word, get in the habit of letting the Word affect you at the very moment, applying it at the very moment. So we are commanded to praise the Lord, and that first sentence is, I believe, a command, but it's also, listen to this, man, it's a reaction. It's a response of the blessed man. It's the response of the blessed man. Guys, God wants you to be a blessed man. God wants you and me to be blessed men. And Psalm 112 lays out the way to this blessedness. Again, you look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The word blessed, we've heard it said many, many times from this pulpit, from many different men. The word blessed means blessed. It also means to be happy. In fact, it means to be how happy. How happy is the man that feareth the Lord? How happy is the man that delights greatly in his commandments? You want to be happy today? You truly want to be a blessed man? You will when you fear the Lord. So I ask you today, sir, do you fear the Lord? The word fear, again, as you look, I love looking at the definition of words. We understand the word fear. Sometimes we don't properly apply it. To some who grew up under abusive fathers, fear is constantly doing this, fearing their father for their life. I'm sure you heard the account yesterday in the state of Ohio where a man took his 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and 7-year-old sons. He said, hunted them down, got them, brought them in front of his wife outside, and shot them all to death in front of the mother. The one boy started to run. He chased him down, brought him back in front of his mother, shot all 3 of her sons to death. That's not a father, brother. And I can understand where those little boys would have feared a man like that. That's not the kind of fear that the Word of God speaks about. Oh yes, there is a fear, but it should be a reverential fear for your Father, for your Heavenly Father. Now, what does it really mean to fear the Lord? Well, I thought about this. What did it mean for you to fear your Father? Now, again, I understand. I've met people, even in this church, who had parents who weren't necessarily real loving. They didn't necessarily have the best father figure. Now, I can say about myself, my dad was a good man. My dad was a gentleman. And I consider myself to have been blessed to have a good dad. And I never feared him like this. Well, not as, you know, when I grew older. But I will say this. When I was a little boy, I understood that he could discipline me. And sometimes, I'm sure you find this hard to believe, but there were actually some times where I needed to be disciplined when I was a little boy. All of us have. My dad knew how to discipline. He believed what the Proverbs taught, the blueness of a wound is not going to hurt a child. Corporal punishment is not going to break a child. Corporal punishment is not going to be used for all discipline. It might be necessary to use it sparingly, nevertheless, it is something that God commends. You don't need to listen to Dr. Spock. He's ruined the last 5 generations of our nation. There is, again, in that definition, a reference And then it says a reverent fright. A reverent fright. I had a fear of my father that when I stepped out of line, my dad was not going to let me get away with those things. He wasn't going to let it go. He was going to deal with it. Sometimes that dealing was gentle in a sense. Sometimes my dad knew how to use the Board of Education. He got my attention. Sometimes God has to discipline us. Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Every one of us. Every one of us who say we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Every one of us at times steps out of line. And there are times where God has to administer discipline. Now you don't see a great big old hand coming out of the clouds and, you know, banging you on the backside. I understand that, but there are ways that God has disciplined. There have been some times in my life where God has disciplined me. It's a miserable time. It's not fun. I don't think discipline was ever designed to be fun. It's designed to change behavior, is it not? God says sometimes I have to get to the point where I scourge my children. And chastening and scourging are two totally different things. And you don't want to get to the point where you're so rebellious against your heavenly father that God says, you know, I'm just going to have to scourge my son. We grow up, and if your father was the right kind of father, he did discipline you to drive out bad behavior and keep you focused on what is right. And there was a fear. A fear like, man, if I don't do what my dad told me, I might just be disciplined. That's fear. But as I grew older, became my mid-teen years into my early adult years, it got to the point where I did not fear my dad's discipline. I feared hurting my dad. I didn't want to hurt him. He was a good man. I didn't want to disappoint him. That's the way you fear the Lord. Understanding that God does chasten his sons. God does at times scourge his sons. And you see it throughout the New Testament. When you come to the point in your walk with the Savior where you just don't want to disappoint him anymore. Your pastor is disappointed in Savior times. Would that we all come to the point where we say, I just don't want to disappoint him anymore. I don't want to do anything that's going to be a disgrace to his name. You'll be happy, sir, when you learn to fear the Lord. You'll be happy when you do not fight against his discipline in your life. And I think you'll know it if he does do that. You'll be happy when you decide not to disappoint your heavenly Father. You just want to seek to please him. Jesus said about his Father, I do always those things that, what? Please him. That should be my attitude toward my heavenly Father as well. To always do those things that please him. He said, you'll be a blessed man, a happy man, when you fear the Lord. Now listen, the second part of that verse. And when you delight in his commandments. Now notice the way he expressed it. The end of verse 1. You'll be a blessed man when you delight greatly in his commandments. A father gives a son his commandments not to make his life miserable. My dad never tried to make my life miserable. My dad gave commands to make me safe. On Friday, when I was up at Ruby visiting with John, and we were sitting there talking, and two men from down Old Homeway walked in, knew his dad, down from the Ravenwoods area, I guess. And that kind of struck up a conversation between us when they left out. John was saying, we used to live beside those people, and they had a farm, and we used to help them. And John was talking about loading up some cows one day, and he got kicked. Got kicked in the leg and had a big old shiner on his leg. And we just got to talk about farm life, and I said, nothing kicks like a horse. I was telling him about when I was a boy at the Canton Gospel Center, the first church I attended, we had an evangelist, and I could not have been any more than 4 or 5 years of age. This evangelist came in. He was from out west. He was a rancher. He was an actual rancher. Owned horses and stuff. He came in and preached. And one of his draws to get people there, he did rope tricks. So I remember one day after the service, he took us out in our parking lot and he started doing his rope tricks. And he was really good. I still remember that to this day. That was just a few years ago. You know, I still remember that. After the meeting, he eventually made his way back out west, back on his ranch. We got the report that he was dead. A horse had kicked him in the head and killed him. My dad would say, "Jeff, steer clear of the backless horses." Now, you know, you can kick by a cow, it can hurt you. I'm not diminishing that. But a horse is truly a whole different animal. They're powerful. Their kick is powerful. You know, the warning, "Jeff, you get around the horses, you steer clear of the backside, you swing." And it always made me nervous watching people just walk right behind the back of the horse, knowing what a horse can do. Now, my dad didn't give me that command to make me miserable. You know what my dad was doing? He wanted me to be safe. Can I tell you, you have a Heavenly Father that's giving you commands not to make your life miserable, to make you safe?
Right.
To our young people here, I know most of the kids went down to Children's Church. Your parents aren't going to give you commands to make your life miserable. They're going to give you commands to make you safe. They're going to give you commands to make your life satisfying. My dad, like other dads, would give me commands that would at the moment seem to deny me a pleasure, not knowing what that pleasure would do to my future, not knowing the regrets that it would bring into my heart if I had gone toward that. My dad gave me a command: you can't do that. You can't do those things. My dad was not trying to make me miserable. My dad was trying to make it to where my life would be satisfying without regret. My Heavenly Father has given me commands not to make me miserable, but to give me a life that is abundant, a life that is genuinely happy, a life that is satisfied. And I look back, listen, have I had problems? Yeah. I'm my biggest problem. So I've had problems. Have I had heartaches? Sure. But I can stand here in all honesty and tell you, I'm a satisfied man. I'm a greatly blessed man. It's not because I'm a millionaire. It's not because, you know, I have a summer home here and a winter home there and have, you know, and I'm talking about those kind of satisfactions. And I got a son there. I got a daughter back there. I got a daughter in Atlanta. I got a son in ministry down in Louisville, Kentucky. I've got a slew of grandkids now. I got a beautiful wife. God has given me everything I need. Best of all, he's given me himself. Stability in the family. And I know a guy like Tom Marsh. He commands his children. You know, You know, that's what the Bible said about Abraham. I know that Abraham will command his children. And I know Tom Marsh commands his children. But I see his daughters, Chloe and Cassie, loving their dad and loving their mom. There's stability there. He's not trying to make his daughters' lives miserable, are you, Mom? You want them to have a stable future. You want them to have the satisfaction of life without regrets. You want them to be safe. God said this, you'll be a blessed man. You will be a happy man when you learn to truly fear the Lord and to delight in His commandments. Delight greatly in His commandments. It's an interesting thing. The 119th Psalm, you don't have to turn there. But in the 119th Psalm, seven times in that Psalm, this phrase is given. That he delighted in God's commandments. Or delighted in God's statutes or ordinances. Commandments, statutes, ordinances are all referring to the Bible. The psalmist said, I delight in your word. I delight in your Bible. Listen, men, learn to delight in God's word. Learn to delight in this blessed book. I appreciate Brother Carlton being here last week. I appreciate him emphasizing the need for us to be in our Bibles. We had several weeks ago, maybe 3 months ago, evangelist Ben Burks with us. And after the service was done, my wife and I took them out for lunch before they left. And we were talking about their ministry. Of course, for years they've been involved in restoration ministry. Alcoholics, people addicted to porn, people addicted to drugs. And they've had a very, very successful ministry. And I was questioning, what are some of the things that you do to help people overcome? He said, well, one of the things we do is we teach people to read their Bibles. But whether it's a chapter or two or five or whatever it is that they're reading, that when they come to the end of that day, just don't close your Bible, but take a little piece of paper and write out what it meant to you. Just write out what you read, something that it meant to you. And he said, there's just something about writing it out and kind of making it yours. It just kind of sticks with you. Plus, you have it visibly in front of your eyes. Can I encourage you to do something? Get yourself a little notebook. And as you read God's word, whatever the amount may be, sit down and just write out. And I'm not talking about grabbing a Strong's, analytical concordance and going through all this word study necessarily, but just something that God has blessed you with or challenged you with or convicted you with, and just write yourself a little note. It'll help drive that point home. It'll make it to where your thoughts begin to steer toward that, and throughout your day, you just begin to think on that. And he said, this helps people with these addictions tremendously. Guys, learn to delight in this book. Learn to love this book. You know, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what? Day and night. It just has to be part of our life, especially if you want to be a blessed man. If you want to be a blessed man. Notice verse 2. The blessed man, he said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I just want you to notice that first phrase. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Fatherhood. And we know the word seed is used throughout the Word of God to indicate having children. The word seed means your posterity. God takes Abraham out under the stars and he says, I'm going to make your seed like the stars of heaven without number. God speaks to Eve and to Adam and says, your seed will bruise the serpent's heel, and his seed will, I got it backwards there, the serpent's seed will bruise your seed's heel, and your seed will bruise the serpent with a mortal wound, with a head wound. Talking about Jesus Christ being crucified at Calvary, the wound of the heel, and the ultimate death and crushing and the destruction of Satan, that mortal head wound. And he refers to them as seed. Fatherhood. God says you can be a happy father. You can have a happy posterity, and it can be mighty upon the earth. So this psalm acknowledges fatherhood. And again, a happy man, a happy father, when you choose to fear the Lord, and when you delight, you take pleasure in his commandments. He said, we'll make your seed, your posterity, your child mighty. You say, how so? Because your children are constantly going to be watching your life. They do. They observe you. They watch you. They watch what you do. And as they see you beginning to delight in his word, and you delight in the person of God, and you lend yourself to wanting to obey God's word, you're not doing it because you have to, but because you want to, it does make an impression on your children. Now, I realize God has given every human being, including your children, a free will. And there are children who do rebel, children who have been brought up in wonderful homes, godly homes, that have still chosen to rebel. But I would say this, 8 times out of 10, you live right, and you live as a happy man, delighting in God's commandments, and having a reverential fear of the Lord, you got a pretty good shot at seeing your kids having the same kind of heart for God. You choose not to live for God. You choose to ignore his commandments. You choose not to fear God. You are just about guaranteed that your children will defy God. It's not always the case, but normally is. Please, if you want a mighty seed in the earth, fear God, delight in his word, let them see the reality of Jesus Christ in you. You can have a mighty seed. A mighty seed. Now, something else I want you to notice about verse 2. I want you to notice the word upright at the end of this verse. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I notice this. And I want you to notice this with me. In verse 2, the word upright. In verse 3, the word righteousness. In verse 4, the word upright. And again in verse 4, the word righteous. In verse 6, the word righteous once again. And then in verse 9, you find the word righteousness. Now, in all of those that we just referenced, what is the root word? What is the root word here? Right. God sure loves a man, a father who chooses to do what's right. God loves the man. Let me say it again. God loves the man who chooses to live right, to do right. He says the generation of the upright shall be blessed by the man who chooses to live in a righteous way, a just way. Again, that word generation, what is it referring to? Well, we know, we were out yesterday on visitation, we had a talk with the last stop we were at about what a generation is. Some think a generation is 33 years, according to Christ's lifespan. Some think a generation be 40 years. Book of Genesis talks about a generation being 100 years. Well, that's a generation according to time, but the generation he speaks of here is family. It's your posterity. That's actually what the word means here. The posterity, your family. He said, your family, listen, your family will be blessed when you choose to be upright in your life. When you choose to do the things that are right and pleasing in the eyes of God. Are you doing that, sir? Are you being that kind of example to your children? You say you'll be a happy man, need to do. Got some relatives who have defied their parents. They're older now. They're well into their adult years, and they've defied their parents. And I watch those family members of mine crush because they watch their kids going towards Satan, just defying God, just walking away from God. There is nothing more defeating to a father than that. Nothing. And if I could put every young person in this room on a guilt trip, I would, without hesitation. And do not break your father's heart. Do not go out here and live for Satan. Do not go out here and live for the world. Live for Jesus Christ. Live for Jesus Christ. You notice in verse 3, he He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house. The man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments will be happy. God says there will be wealth and riches in your house. You say, Pastor, this is Old Testament. This is talking about a literal physical kingdom in which God told Israel, if you follow me, if you follow my commands, I will give you a kingdom now, prosperity now. And we know men like Abraham were extremely wealthy. Jacob and Isaac and David and Solomon, and we can just go on and on with men who had great riches. You say, we're New Testament. That's not necessarily the way God is designed. And I say, you're right. You're exactly right. Our kingdom is not of this world. We're seeking a kingdom to come. Our blessings come there, not all here, as you find in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, I think you can apply this verse to your life today. Wealth and riches shall be in the man who fears the Lord, house. And again, the word house means what? Family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, when Joshua said that, I don't think he was talking about the building he was standing in. In fact, through those first several years, even in the Promised Land, they were still nomadic. Many of them still lived in tents. So I don't think when Joshua said that to Israel, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he was talking about a building. He was talking about his children. He was talking about his household. We know that. God says, there'll be riches and wealth in your family. Now you notice the word wealth? If you examine that word, it does mean substance. And it also means this. Enough. Enough. Do you have enough today? I think we all have done God's. We are blessed beyond degree. How many of you have a stove? That's all. How many of you have a refrigerator? Okay, I'm not going to make you read the recipes. How about a freezer? Now, not everybody has a freezer, but probably most of you. How about a dishwasher? You got a wife? No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. How about a washing machine? Or a dryer? Or a car? Or a phone, whether it's a landline or a cell phone? Or a furnace? We were at Atiquipa, Peru. People didn't have those. I drove right down this road years ago. Nancy Bach was still alive. She was a nurse for hospice, and she'd go witness to people. And when I was the assistant pastor here, she had me go out and follow up. And a man down the road walked into their house, had a potbelly stove and dirt floors. Right down here. Not everybody has what we have. You got wealth. We all are wealthy. We all are wealthy. We have riches. You notice back, if you would, just turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you know this passage well. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you notice verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's great gain, guys. That's wealth. That's riches. Because when you are godly, and you're blessed because you've chosen to do what is right, and you have a good and healthy fear of the Lord, it is going to be seen by your posterity. Your children are going to see it, and it's going to give them a desire to go after God. Again, I realize that there are children who choose to rebel. I've seen it happen among my own siblings and their families. At times, those things happen. But normally, when a father goes after God, children go after God. And as God has given you contentment, not through money, but through living a godly life, your children will also learn that truth. He goes on to say, for we brought nothing into this world, and in a certain week we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 6? He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your needs. I'll make sure you have something to wear and food in your stomach. I'll take care of you. He'll meet our needs, and He does. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Content. Because God has made us wealthy. It's not always wealth according to the amount of money we have, how large our bank account may be, how large our stock portfolio may be. Listen, I'm not opposed to those kind of things, but I'm telling you, if that's where you're seeking to make yourself happy, you are barking up the wrong tree. Philippians 4:18, it's amazing. It's an amazing statement that Paul said. He said to the church of Philippi, he said, but I have all and abound. I am full. That's exactly what Paul said. He said it from a prison cell. And by the way, it wasn't like North Central Regional Jail. He said, I'm full. I'm abounding. I have everything I could wish. Good night. Look what God's given us. And I don't think it came by accident. Again, I'm not here to tout or put down the United States, but you look back at our past history, and while we've never been a perfect nation, there was a time in this nation where we chose to go after Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we did, God said, I'm going to put my blessing on that nation. And we are experiencing the results of generations past. And we're foolishly spending it up like the prodigal son. Brother, we experienced those things because people in the past decided to go after God. Hey, in your house are wealth and riches. Why? Because many of you have chosen to live in accordance to this book. God honors that. God will honor the man that does that. I can go on and on. Let me just go a little bit further here this morning. Verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. You see, what does that have to do with a man's happiness? Well, the reality is, in life, there are a lot of confusing and difficult things that you have to contend with. A lot of confusing and difficult things. And this is what God promises. He said, I'll send you light. A man who chooses to fear me, a man who chooses to greatly delight in my law, I'm going to give him light for his darkness. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. There have been times in my life where I've needed answers, and I found my answer in this book. In this book. God says, I will give you light when things seem dark to you. Have you ever heard somebody say, I am totally in the dark? Have you ever heard that stated? Okay. You know what? Because sometimes we are totally in the dark about some issue in life. It may be dealing with your children. It may be dealing with a career choice. It may be dealing with an issue in your marriage. I don't know what it may be, but sometimes we just feel like we're totally in the dark about something, and God says, I want to give you light that is going to give you freedom from that darkness that's surrounding you. Again, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God will give you direction through this book. He always does. He never fails in this. My responsibility as a man and as a husband and as a father is to get myself in this book and obey it. To fear Him and follow Him. And He'll guide. I love Ephesians 5:13. That all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Okay. Jesus said, sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said that his word will clean us, and his word is light to us. Okay. I just said, I can go to this book and find light. Sometimes you get light by sitting under the preaching of God's word. That's why you hear me, you hear the evangelist and others that stand in the pulpit. Don't miss. Be in God's house. Take every advantage of being under God's preaching. Because sometimes God will even use an instrument like me to help shed light on a situation. He will. That's just the way God works. Sometimes God, you know, he says, whatsoever is like. Sometimes it's God just using another member of your family. I'm talking about your church family. Maybe you're talking on the phone, or maybe you're talking after service, and you got a struggle you're going through. And maybe you've said nothing to that person about the particulars of your struggle, but God works through that brother or sister in Christ to say something that just clicks. You've never thought about it before. God has shed light on you. Whatsoever, give light. Whatsoever is light. The Word of God, time of prayer, the preaching of God's Word, just talking with another brother or sister in Christ, and God uses it to say something. They may not have even realized they said something that could ultimately change the course of decision you have to make. God will use that in your life. God gives light in the darkness to a man who is willing to fear Him and greatly delight in His words. You notice at the end of verse 4 he says, He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. I believe he's speaking about the man who fears the Lord here. At first when I looked at that, I'm thinking, I think he's referring to God being gracious and full of compassion and to the individual. And I think you could apply that, but I also think he's speaking about the results of a man. Listen, the result of a man who chooses to fear the Lord and greatly delight in His commandments. This will be the characteristic of that kind of a man. He'll be a gracious man. What does that mean? He's kind. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus was just kind. He went about doing what? Good. He just went about doing good. He was kind to children. His disciples, oh, get the children away from the master. Jesus rebuked them. Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. He was kind. He was kind to the woman taken in adultery. He was kind to everybody he met. A man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in His commandment will be characterized by an attitude of graciousness in his life. He'll be characterized with compassion. When I prayed earlier today, I referenced there the book of Lamentations, where it tells us that our God is just a compassionate God. He's full of compassion. You know what? When you greatly fear His commandments and you delight in Him and fear Him, you become like Him. You do. You've ever heard the old saying, like father, like what?
Son.
Like father, like son. Like father, like son. Listen, as John focuses on Jesus Christ and fears Him and delights in His commandments, the Father works in his life, and John becomes in the image of Jesus Christ. And as John allows Christ to work in him, he sheds that image to Sammy and to JJ and to Caitlin. Does it make sense? God said, I want to do this in your life. I want to work in you in such a way that you develop graciousness and compassion and the heart of a righteous man, where you are just simply doing the things that are right. Just simply doing the things that are right. Is that true in your life today? I can go on. And I know it's Father's Day. Folks want to spend time with your families today, so I'm not going to abuse the time this morning. But I want to challenge you to do this. I'm serious about this. There are some real nuggets in the rest of this song. And I don't, especially the men, especially the dads, just want to challenge you to go through. Maybe take a little note card and just say, show me, Father, how this applies to me. There are some things in here that will be a blessing to you. Can I ask you, sir, do you fear the Lord? Do you greatly delight in His commandments? If you want to truly be a happy man, if you want to be blessed, it always has to be in there. Is that the reality of it?